You got me on up there now? Okay, good morning. If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and then pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance? And there are...
I did it already.
There are a couple of announcements I want to bring special attention to. And one is that the church building itself is going to be closed this next week on Monday and Tuesday. And we're asking people not to come to the church at that time because we're having security cameras installed completely around the church. And we're going to have workers here. And, you know, due to the corona issues, we're just asking people to stay away until they finish what the work that they're going to do. That should be finished up by Tuesday night, okay, or Wednesday morning at the latest. And so we are going to have Bible study Wednesday night, so put that on your calendar. And with 2020 coming to an end after January 1st, we can literally say with 2020 hindsight, you know. And I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to 2020 being over with. It seems like everything that could happen has happened during this year. It's been a challenging time, to say the least. Okay. But anyone got any other announcements?
Yes.
Okay. Choir practice, yes. Yes, we do have choir practice this week. So Wednesday night. Choir members, don't forget. Okay, if you would, take your bulletin and turn to the inside front cover and let's do the unison reading that's printed there together. And it reads,
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you.
Thanks, ladies. It's always a treat to hear that every year. Appreciate it. Let's continue our time of worship together this morning by standing and singing the choral call to worship that's printed in your bulletin. Please stand and we'll sing this together. We'll sing it twice. Emmanuel.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with joy in our heart and gladness in our souls that you were here to worship you. We ask, Lord, that your presence be with us, guide us, direct us, forgive us of our sins, and be with those who couldn't be here this morning for whatever reason, Lord, and be with those that within our congregation that are having physical challenges and just let your arms of comfort be around them, Lord, and know that the they're missed and they're loved. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 247. Once in Royal David City.
Thank you. Please be seated.
If you would, take your bulletin, let's turn to the inside cover and do the question 14 and 15 of the Westminster Larger Catechism this morning. I'll read the question, you do the answer printed in bold. Question 14, how does God execute his decrees? What is the work of creation?
The work of creation is that wherein God did it in the beginning, by the word of his power, made of nothing the world, and all things therein, for himself, within the space of 6 days, and all very good.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 246. Number 246, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Comes to the time of our tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:7, and it reads, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings.
Oh.
their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, peace on earth. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, peace on earth, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, peace on earth. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. For peace on earth, peace on earth, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, peace on earth, good.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you offering these tithes and offerings. We ask that you bless each gift, Lord, and each giver. We ask also that you let us do this with a gracious and grateful heart, Lord, that we're able to give something back to you that you so graciously give to us, and help us as a church to use these funds wisely to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. You may be seated.
Thank you.
We have this great opportunity week by week to pray to the Lord and to ask him for his mercy as far as our church, as far as our nation. It's a great opportunity that we have. I, for one, am very grateful that the Lord has protected our congregation, especially through this storm that just went through on Christmas Eve. You know, I want to thank everybody that worked very hard to, I'm sorry, for Christmas Eve. I want to thank everybody that worked so hard to make the Christmas Eve service a wonderful experience. And I know that the Lord saw all that and he was very pleased, even though we didn't get to participate. And by the way, if anyone is interested in a bunch of Christmas Eve bulletins, we have those here. And you're welcome to them. Don't want them to go to waste. But we are grateful. We're also grateful that the Lord watches over us and protects us in so many ways. So let's bow as we come before the Lord now in prayer. Let's bow and pray. Our gracious Father, we look to you for so much in life. We recognize that apart from you, we can do nothing. And so we call upon you as our Lord and as our God to strengthen us and to help us and to bring us through the dark times, the dark moments. We know that you're our shepherd and that you lead us as a shepherd. And we thank you. We're grateful to you. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to come and to worship you and to praise you and to celebrate your birth here on earth as Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Lord, it is a wonderful time for us, and we're so grateful for it. And Lord, we do pray and ask you to help those who, even this morning, are in distress or those who are in need of prayer. And we remember this morning Caroline Harbin and ask you, Lord, to continue to heal her after her fall. And we ask that you would strengthen her. Lord, we also pray for your hand to be on Catherine and Tom Gibson. Catherine will be undergoing a procedure this coming Tuesday on the 29th. And Lord, we ask that you would help her during this time and heal her from this, and also Tom and the struggles that he's gone through. So we ask you, Lord, to be with them. And Father, for the others, there are a number here in our congregation who are in need of your healing. And we ask that as our healer, that Lord, you would touch them physically and take the pain away from them. Father, also pray for those this morning that are in emotional distress, those who are concerned or worried or lonely. We ask, Lord, that you would be their Lord and be very close to them during this time, during this season. We pray for those names that are mentioned here in our bulletin. We pray for Bill and Suzanne Scott with Mission to the World, a Muslim ministry. We ask, Lord, that you would help them proclaim the name of Jesus Christ to those who are crying out for you. We pray also for the persecuted church in the Philippines and ask you, Lord, to protect them from the evil that surrounds them even in this hour. And Father, we also pray this morning for the Salvation Army as they struggle to keep up with the needs that are here in our community. We ask that you would help them and bless them during this time. And again, Father, again, we are grateful and thankful for this, our church, Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless us as we seek to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask that your Spirit would go out and touch each church that desires to lift up your name, and that you would help them and bless them in this hour. That, Lord, whatever may come in 2021, that we know that you walk with us, and that you help us and strengthen us as our Lord and as our God. And Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 230. Number 230, please stand and we'll sing this together. What Child Is This?
Thank you.
Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning. This is found in Psalm 77, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 15. Psalm 77, verses 1 to 15, and this might be something that you'd like to dog-ear in your Bible so that you can find it again, because this is a very important psalm for the days ahead. Psalm 77, beginning in verse 1, hear now the word of God. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. And when I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I considered the days of old, the years long ago, and I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. If I remember the deeds of the Lord, yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and of Joseph. May God add to our understanding this portion from his holy word. Well, Christmas has come and it's gone. You know, like the Bible says, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. You know, there's always this psychological crescendo before Christmas. There's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of anticipation. Spirits are typically high. You know, we're looking forward to that special moment, to that special time. But how do you feel now? What are you feeling right now? You know, for many, right after Christmas, there's sort of a feeling of aimlessness. It's like, well, it's over. I mean, what do we do now? It's almost like exam week in college. Some of you went through that, you know, where you're so pumped up and you're taking exams. And then when everything is finished, you kind of look around like, number one, you feel guilty because you feel like you should be doing something, but it's over. It's done. You know, there's actually a syndrome that psychologists have identified concerning this, and it's called, literally, the post-Christmas letdown syndrome. PCLS. You know, they've got letters for everything now. This is the PCLS, the post-Christmas letdown syndrome. And basically what it says is that our highs in life are balanced out by the lows. And the higher we go in anticipation of special times like Christmas, then there's a reaction to a lower level that balances that out. The greater our expectations, the greater our potential for depression. Now, why is this so? Some years ago, there was an article in the Presbyterian Journal. Some of you may remember that publication, the Presbyterian Journal, and it spoke about this. In fact, it explained it. And it said, for the most part, we've been programmed year after year to expect certain feelings at Christmas, to have certain expectations of what Christmas is going to do for us. Well, there's family togetherness, a time for our families to come together, maybe family members that we haven't seen in a long time, and they're going to come by and they're going to visit, and we're looking forward to that, and it's a time of expectation. But then there may also be the anticipation of harmony, of peace. Maybe we enjoy a Christmas dinner and great discussion. And all these things are in our minds and in our hearts, because there have been times in years past when we've actually experienced those things. And we're looking forward to duplicate that, to somehow live it over again and have that joy that we had one time. However, circumstances don't always permit it. You know, there might be sickness, or there might be financial problems, or maybe unexpected things happen like snowstorms that keep people from being able to get together. And so as a result, we haven't reached that level that we thought we were going to be able to reach. And depression sets in. And they were saying that there are four different areas where we get attacked in this. One of them is in the physical area, that because it's Christmas time, where we do more things, we're more active, we're going out battling the crowds, trying to get that last minute gift, and all the effort that we have to put in it. I know the ladies are looking at what it's going to take to do Christmas dinner and having people over, and maybe we go out and visit more during the Christmas season. And so our bodies wear down. We're not used to that level of activity on a continuing basis. And so we get physically depressed over that. You know, also sometimes the food or the drink that we eat or drink affects us. You know, maybe we're eating richer foods than we normally do, or drinking richer things than we normally do, eggnog, things like that. And so that has a physical effect on us to depress us, because sugar is a depressant. That's a possibility too. Then there's also the emotional. There's the physical, there's the emotional. And the emotional highs and lows that we go through during this season. There's certain anxieties that we may go through. You know, this year it was a problem. We had to order so many things online. And then, you know, it gets around December 21st, December 22nd. It still hasn't arrived. And it's like, well, what are we going to do here, you know? And then they always send you those wonderful messages like, well, because of COVID-19, you know, shipments are late and, you know, please bear with us. COVID-19 has covered a multitude of sins, I got to tell you that. But we worry about that. Is it going to get here in time? Or what if it doesn't come, what am I going to do? And so there's this anxiety that builds as the day approaches. And that takes a toll on us emotionally. It takes a toll. And there's also a spiritual aspect of the whole thing. You know, because we want to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we get so busy around this time of the year that maybe we neglect spending time with the Lord. Maybe spending time reading the Bible, spending time fellowshipping with other Christians and just talking about the Lord, and not about politics and not about the season, just talking about our love for our Lord and Savior. Yeah, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, and then, of course, all this leads to the mental. It's very hard to balance all of this. It's hard to keep a positive outlook on everything when it seems like we're getting hit with all these different areas. And all this leads up to that day, to Christmas. You know, this year we also have to consider the current state of affairs in our nation. We have to consider the effects of COVID-19. Where we're told not to get together in groups, where we're told to exercise social distancing and not experience the hugs and the touches and the love that we've grown accustomed to over time. And that has a toll. That takes a toll. We're also concerned about the political state of our country right now. All these things crowding together during this time. And so it's easy to become depressed, to get down over everything. So, you know, what's the answer? I mean, what's the answer to all of this? No quick answers. There's no magic bullet. But in this magazine article, and this magazine article was written long before COVID-19, written long before some of the issues that we're currently facing right now. But the magazine listed about six different things, and I'm going to go through them quickly, about ways that we can respond to this depression. The first one is to expect it, to expect the fact that because it has come and gone, that there's a certain feeling of loss that we go through. You know, when we put the Christmas decorations up, when we put the tree up or whatever the decorations may be, there's this sense of euphoria. It's coming, it's coming. But when we take them down, then there's this feeling of letdown. There's this feeling of depression that hits us. And expect that. That's normal for us to go through. Reality will seldom reach the level of our expectations. Seldom. The second is to choose to see the benefits of our post-Christmas activities. Well, we still have New Year's coming up, right? We have New Year's Eve, and, you know, that's something to look forward to. And we probably can look forward to some more big snowstorms. That's, you know, we can look forward to that. So there are things post-Christmas that we might be able to look toward that will help us and encourage us. Find those things. And be kind to yourself in regard to, and this was interesting, in regards to New Year's resolutions. You know, typically people make resolutions, New Year's resolutions, that are beyond reality. You know, this year, 2021, I'm going to lose 45 pounds. I don't care what it takes, I'm going to do it. Yeah, you probably won't. But, you know, be kind to yourself in that. Another is continue to spend time with other people, because isolation increases depression. I know what's being told. I know what's being said. But try to find ways where you can safely get with others and enjoy the company and the fellowship of other people. You know, even if it's online, even if you're using Zoom and you have a Zoom meeting and you see their faces, it's better than not seeing them at all. But when possible, get with other people. Spend some time with them. Share your hearts with them. Another is make plans for future events and projects. Look forward into the new year and say, these are some of the things I would like to accomplish this year, this coming year. And make some plans, because it's always good to have something in the future to look forward to. It helps. Another one is to make healthy choices. Eat good foods. Drink good water. Drink good beverages, things that help you and encourage you. Stay away from sugar. Another is to determine to enjoy the year ahead. You know, we hear the gloom and doom, the dark winter, all these things that are being thrown at us at this time. Ignore it. Turn the TV off and purpose in your heart, whatever it's going to take, I'm going to enjoy 2021. Nobody can take that from me. I'm going to enjoy it. But you know, as you look at these things, a lot of these are very close to biblical accounts. In this passage that we read this morning, this Psalm 77, did you notice some of the same things that we're talking about are found right there in Psalm 77? Look at verses 1 to 9. And this is where the writer of this psalm, which, by the way, was a psalm of Asaph, not a psalm of David, but a psalm of Asaph. And in this psalm, for the first 9 verses, he's talking about the problems. He's talking about all the grief that he's going through and all the struggle that he's going through. And I feel like God has abandoned me. And he's saying all these things. And, you know, I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old. In other words, he's remembering what things used to be like. And he's saying, God, is it ever going to be this way again? I mean, is it over now? I'm never going to have a happy day again as long as I live? That's foolishness. But we get to that point sometimes. Things look so dark and they look so bleak that we just can't see the other side of the coin. We can't see the fact that God is still in control. He hasn't changed a bit. God knew all along that what we're going through right now was going to happen. Doesn't come as any surprise to him. He not only knew what was going to happen, he knew how he was going to deal with it. And the last chapter hasn't been written yet. God knows how he's going to deal with this. But then you look at verses 10 to 15, and he talks about the answer to this dilemma. The writer of this psalm talks about the answer, and he says, basically, first of all, remember what God has done in the past. He's never failed us. No matter how terrible our times have been, no matter how dark our days have been, God has taken us through it. You know, you look back in history and you see some of what this country has gone through, those dark moments when everyone thought all is lost. That goes all the way back to the very beginning, the writing of our Constitution. Our Revolutionary War. And if you're a student of history, you know how many times God intervened and helped our nation become what he wanted it to be. And he's not finished yet. Amen. We look back and we remember God's faithfulness. And then the second thing, we ponder. We think about it. We reflect on it. The third is that we meditate on it. We embrace it. We let it become a part of us. God's word. And you know, the very end of this, he says, "For you are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples." You know, if we have one desire for the new year, that should be it. Lord, work your wonders. Work your wonders among your people. Don't let them shut us down. Don't let them close our churches. Don't let them force us into isolation. Work your wonders, Lord. Let us be the people that you've called us to be. You know, this morning we had as our prelude a song about the bells. And then Kathy Penland sang the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." I don't know if you know the history behind that, but it's very interesting. This came from a poem that was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. That's probably a name you remember from your days in high school when you had to read Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, great American poet. He wrote it in 1863. And prior to the time that he wrote that, Longfellow's wife was in the kitchen and her dress caught on fire. And he was asleep, taking a nap at the time. He heard her screaming and he ran out and saw her on fire and jumped on top of her, trying to beat the fire out, but he was too late. And she died. And he was burned. His face was burned, which is why if you look at a picture of Longfellow, he always has a big beard. That's because his face was burned trying to save his wife. Then after that, his oldest son, Charlie, left home at 18 without his father's knowledge and went to join the army, the Northern Army, went into battle, and his oldest son, Charlie, was shot, and it was said that he was going to be paralyzed for life. He survived the shot, but they said that he would be paralyzed for life. And it was almost more than Longfellow could stand. He cried out to God in his misery, in his agony. And he sat down and he wrote this poem. "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Eve." on Christmas Day. And I'm only going to read a couple of verses of this. You heard Kathy sing them. But it says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then he sings some other verses. One of them has to do with the cannons, hearing the cannons roar. And then he says this, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And then he says this, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. See, this was his expression of crying out to God and realizing that life was more than the events that we pass through from day to day. That we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, who protects us, who watches over us, and even though we go through these horrible things in life, he will never, ever forsake us. Never. He wrote that song as an expression of the temptation that he had within him to give up, to just surrender to it. Why keep trying? Just give up. But then the realization that his ultimate victory was in his faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I hope that as we look forward to the year 2021, that we would approach it in the very same way, that God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong will fail, the right prevail. That's God's promise to us. Keep in mind, he's not finished with the United States of America. He's the one that has put this together, and he's the one that will sustain it. Whatever happens in politics, and I mentioned last week, and I'll say it again, there's a dark night coming. Things are going to have to get worse before they get better. We will all be affected by this. I'm not sure how, nobody knows exactly how this is going to take place, but it will. It's something that we have to pass through. It's a dark moment. But God will go through it with us. He will sustain us through this time. And when you start to hear these things, and especially if you're watching mainstream media, if you're going to hear things that don't seem to make sense, I would encourage you not to listen to it. Turn it off. Put your faith in the Lord. Get on your knees and pray for our country. Pray for our leadership. Pray for those who are in positions of authority, that God will have his way. And then hold fast. Just hold on. Give it time, and we're going to see God's hand at work. God is not dead. He's not asleep. I'm going to challenge you for 2021. Don't give in to fear. We've been blasted with so many things lately, and so much of it is geared to make us afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We're at a time in the life of our nation when we're being called on to walk by faith and not by sight. God will not fail us. He will give us victory. Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are so grateful and thankful that you are a God who chooses to be with his people. Lord, we thank you for the many, many blessings that you've given us as a nation. Lord, so many blessings that we've taken for granted. So many times we've thought it was because of us that we were blessed, when all along it was you. And Father, I pray that in these days ahead that we would hold fast to you, that we would draw near to you as our Lord and as our God, and call upon your name to lead us and direct us as our shepherd. I pray for each person in this congregation, for those here this morning, for those listening in their cars, for those listening over the internet, that, Father, you would give us a spirit of hope, a spirit of joy as we approach the year 2021. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Now turn in your hymnal to number 225. We'll sing the first two verses here and then the third verse for our benediction response. Number 225, please stand and let's sing these first two verses together. Go tell it on the mountain.
Please bow for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen. Yeah.